this is Katrina and Sass, and this is Zooming in the Lens podcast. It's adventures of spiritual dialogue with us from the streets of rock and roll into the shifts of perceptions. We hope Zooming in the Lens can bring us all together, sharing the stuff of life and practice, suffering and grace. And we're really grateful to all of you who might be listening to our rants with compassion and curiosity. For more information, visit us at functionalyogaonline.com. So here we are. This is Katrina Chester for Zooming in the Lens podcast. And my friend and I, Sass Jordan, have decided to come together. We met many, many years ago, and we have a ton in common and a ton not so much in common. But we have a great forum in which to express that, which is from a very beginner's mind, always, no matter where we come from, we always make sure that we stay grounded and rooted in that, you know. There's a lot of people out there that are just like us, that are seekers, maybe don't know where to go, maybe do know where to go. But the energy of it is more about self-study and the holy shitness of life, really, right, Sass?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, it's you know, we've had so many numerous phone calls over the years about the ponderings of life and spirituality. And, you know, Sass is maybe just a little more woo-woo than me. And but, you know, I'm catching up there on the woo-woo chart. I think I am. Don't you notice that, Sass?
Sorry. Yeah, I would have to say I've seen a definite shift in the way you respond to these ideas since we first started talking. I mean, we started talking, I think it must have been in 2002 when we first met. That's when we first started these long, rambling conversations, even though we were deeply involved in our singing careers at the time. And then when we met back up again more recently, they're all-nighters practically. Time, we don't even notice the time going by. So, yeah. Insanity. Wow.
Yeah, that's when we really started, because by 2010 I was practicing already. So I was already kind of took my break from music to discover other things that I've always wanted to discover. Not so much a departure as a continuation of, which is why I think today's topic it resonates with me in a really interesting way. So the topic is do what you love, WTF. Now, in saying WTF, I'm trying to give you a very misconstrued perception of me, because we've just met, the listeners and me. And so, you know, when you first meet somebody, you're going to be on your best behavior. But if you are a young person and your parents don't like you to hear cursing, this probably isn't the podcast for you.
Yes, I would have to agree on that 100% again, Katrina, because, boy, we can, you know, we come from a rock and roll background. We swear like sailors. Actually, I think we're doing pretty well right here.
Yeah. I did WTF. That's me light. That's pretty good.
Yes.
But we all know what that means. And, you know, I don't even know why people curse. I really always hated that, you know, people curse when they don't have an education and they don't have something intelligent to say. But honestly, the most incredible people I've met throughout life, they use it as a way to use their personality and the social conditioning, which could be a plus, you know, in spirituality. Like, it's not like we want to walk around flying on, you know, magic carpets and eating mung beans all the time. It's not even about ever doing that, really, when you come down to it.
Well, cursing it's a way to animate conversation and to add a certain gravitas, you know, like a weight to what you're saying, even though I would say it's probably less so in this day and age, because it's so prevalent. It's everywhere, you know. It's not anywhere near as frowned upon as it once was, even when we were kids. I mean, you know, it's And it does become a habit. It is a habit, you know, especially once again from the backgrounds that we have. I mean, we grew up in rock bands. I mean, for fuck's sake, you know what I'm saying?
Bleep.
Bleep. What the bleep? What the bleep do we know? But, you know, to our topic being do what you love, that is basically the story of our lives, isn't it, Katrina? Like, that's what we started out this whole journey doing. It was doing what we love. We were lucky enough, I think, the pair of us, to actually know what we loved. You know, that was such a massive, huge gift in my experience anyway, because to know what I wanted to do made it possible for me to find my path so much easier, I think, than so many of the kids that I talk to these days. You know, people say to me all the time, but I don't know what I love. I don't know what I'm passionate about. This is the killer.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like my opinion slightly differs from that. You know, there is this societal conditioning that starts at such a young age with kids in preschool. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I think that puts a lot of closed, kind of contracted pressure immediately out of the box because what's the opposite of that is that you should know. And I don't necessarily think my opinion on it is that I spent a lot of time thinking, is it better to know or not to know? Because knowing for me what I wanted to do, when I obviously am looking back now, myopic vision. I think that's the word. Where everything, I had blinders on, because what became of what started as a love and something that innately happened in me at 5 years old, just opening my mouth and singing. If you think about, once you know what you want to do, the social conditioning that we have as humans in this world is that then it becomes all about that. And so once it becomes all about that, you, with the blinders on, depending on how you react to getting what you want and not getting what you want, which is the first noble truth of the Buddha, you know, suffering, all life is suffering. He doesn't mean all life is suffering because life sucks. I mean, my interpretation, which is just my perception of it, is that, and actually, you know what? I think I have the actual quote here somewhere. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's actually Socrates.
Oh, for goodness sake.
If you don't get what you want, you suffer. If you get what you don't want, you suffer. Even when you get exactly what you want, you still suffer because you can't hold on to it forever. Your mind is your predicament. It wants to be free of change, free of pain, free of the obligations of life and death. But change is law, and no amount of pretending will alter your reality.
Correct.
So for me, the singing wasn't the problem. Life isn't the problem. It was the attachments and the goal-oriented drive that we think we need to have to reach that goal. And so, as Alan Watts always says, it's about writing the song. It's not about getting the end result of the song. So, you know, as even Ram Dass has always say, be in the now. You can't be in the now when you have this desire to sing. Because honestly, at one point in my life, and I think it was very early on, like 21, I had this conversation with myself, which I didn't repeat for, you know, years and years later, of if I really want to be a singer, why don't I just sing? Why don't I just sing in the subway? Mm-hmm. Why aren't I okay singing at, you know, the Bitter End in New mm-hmm. York, or the Cat Club, or Joe's mm-hmm. Pub? Because somewhere along the line, the true desire gets clouded by longing. That's the Tao Te Ching, you know, a mind clouded by longing can never be free. I mean, that's a horrible exact quote. But so I don't know if what you said is really true. Is it better to know, or are you in some ways a lot better off when you don't know?
I don't know. You see, this is the eternal question, because when you don't know, what happens, or what I observe around me, is that you just drift and feel this kind of meaninglessness to life. There doesn't seem to be any meaning, because all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're going to this job that you can't stand because you have to pay the rent and you have to feed yourself and you need clothes. And by God, at that point, you need a drink. You know what I mean? So I think that it's just like everything else in life, which is balance is the key. What you were just saying is really interesting, because you were talking about what I would consider to be pure desire, the desire to sing. That is an expression of the soul. Singing is an expression of the soul, the personality, everything else. It's an expression of the self. And it could be, I also consider it to be an expression of God, but then again, the self is God, whatever. Here we go. However, the point that I'm trying to make here is that what you seem to be talking about was the structures that automatically are created around us through that pure desire. The pure desire to sing, wonderful. But if I'm going to sing, I need to make a living. I need to be successful at it. And being successful at it means making money. Mm-hmm. Right? And having as many people as possible like what I do. What does that entail? That does not just entail singing. That entails a whole whack of other bullshit that is the thing, I think, eventually that made you go, whoa, dude, I've had enough of this crap. Because it's not about singing anymore. It's about all the stuff around it. The business of promoting, the business of making myself bigger than I am, you know, than I feel anyway. Yeah. It's all of those things. There is nothing on earth that you can do, as far as I can tell, that does not entail a whole whack of other stuff that is not as fun as the pure desire or the pure doing of the thing, you know? The question is, where do you put your God-given energy? Into what do you put your God-given energy? What? Is it going to be something that is merely a subsistence type of action? Like,
well, I think our culture just is always putting the cart before the horse. So imagine mm-hmm. this. Imagine if we were all brought up to, quote-unquote, work on our inner self. And here's what I know. It's like, whoa. But what we're doing is we're coming out of the womb and we're trying to seek without the desire and the knowledge. And that's what college is. How many times do you know of people that are going, what are you going for? Liberal arts. You know, what do you have? A virus. Like, it's all the world's way of saying, we have no idea, but listen. All we know is that we need money. But if we If we just rewind a little bit, because, hey, that's what this platform is for, right? Uh-huh. We each individually have our own incarnation. And so this part of accepting your incarnation and the predicament of that incarnation, being able to pause and slow down a minute and say, what is it I'm really after? It's the difference between internal work is, where am I best going to serve myself and others? External work is, how am I going to get money? How am I going to support the family? Now, the saying that I love is that the mind keeps making contracts that we can't keep. Wow. So if when I decided I'm going to be a singer, I had no more external influence, I would have been a singer by the age of 5. But because that has to then turn into commerce, and there's a recipe for commerce, and in the music industry, it used to be play out, get discovered, get a record deal, have a hit record, win a Grammy, and then probably do everything you can to try to get away from everybody that you tried to get towards. I mean, that's exactly what the recipe felt like. So I say back it up and pause. And this is where, you know, when I say heart, I mean spiritual heart, not emotional heart. I mean the spiritual heart of us is that when we are doing what we love and that love thing starts to go wrong, or when you don't know what you love, maybe it's because you never were given the time to go internally. We don't have the tools to go internally unless you do what's quote unquote called spiritual practice, which that alone turns people off. Mm-hmm. Religion's got it. Fantastic. If you could find it through there. There's lots of methods in which to seek from within. But I'm just saying that I think the recipe of trying to find something you can make money at, it's gotten the reputation of the only way to figure out what you want to do is to either figure out what makes you money or find something you love. And those are the only for the lucky people. Uh-huh. What I'm saying is not even the people that do what they love are lucky or not lucky. I just think that if we're not using the tools of many, many spiritual masters, of every masters, I'd say, yeah. Jesus, Gandhi, Buddha. I mean, there's so many people that have come before us, and we get so freaked out in our culture about, now I'm going to be this, or now I'm going to be a religious person, or now I'm going to be a yogi. And if we just stop and say, listen, man, if you had somebody in your life that you really trusted and respected, mm-hmm. and they told you something, would you not pause and listen?
Like a mentor.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And it could be alive or dead, whatever it is. And those mentors have sort of laid it out, you know, in a way to sort of say, I think if we pause and we don't think with the blinders on so much. I can only give you my own example. Being a singer, mm-hmm. I was born knowing I wanted to do it. The incarnation, the rest of the procedure of actually doing it, which was fantastic and suffering and fantastic and all of it, I wouldn't change one thing about it. When I stopped to pause and found yoga, spiritual practices, religions, all of the ways to connect to the inner really what's going on in there and who am I? Not that you ever know, but it's the question itself.
Yeah.
I started, teaching started coming to me. People mm-hmm. appeared. Now, I'm not trying to give anybody the impression that, like, magical things will happen if you go into the heart. They might not. I don't know your incarnation. I don't know your trip. But all I do know is that the voices in my head were trying to tell me that teaching and sharing and going within wasn't singing. And when I really had this one epiphany was, of course, through the words of Ram Dass, who is my teacher, my main teacher at least, was that I was thinking too small. Because really, think about it, Sass, what we're doing in singing is communicating. Mm-hmm. We're giving love. Mm-hmm. It may come through angry rock and roll lyrics, but that's how we're communicating, and that might mm-hmm. reach somebody with love. It doesn't matter.
And it
it's
does.
Not really for anybody to judge, right? When I took a look at what I'm doing now, I'm doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving people love. I'm using my voice, la, 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 or la, 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 la. I'm doing the same thing, but because my brain is a computer and it wants to go down this human task-oriented path, I was too blocked to see that there are so many choices. Doing what you love doesn't mean to me, well, I love to do drugs. Yeah, who doesn't? But without the relationship to the self, without self-love, the availability and the options seem clouded to me. And what it does also is it strips away what your true intention might really be for what you want to do. As my father always said, who was a great drummer, if you're in this industry to make money, get laid, and be the best there could ever be, get the fuck out. Because that recipe right there is really a recipe of the mind. So I think it's getting us all to what do you love to do? Do you love to pick flowers? Do you love to fix cars? Do you love to talk to people? Do you love the fact that you don't talk to people? And make these lists and inquire, what do you think your overarching tone of that is? Like, I'm only telling uh-huh. you what helped me. I mean, don't listen to me. Go find out for yourself. What do I know? But all I know is that when I stopped having to fulfill this recipe for word,
mm-hmm.
everything became the same. Everything became one. Everything is my practice. Singing. Mantra, chanting, which I was really hung up about, religion. But while you're still in this very closed off place of, well, what I love to do is bake, but I can't go out there and open up a bakery, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. Well, maybe there's something else. Like, what is the baking doing for you?
That's
well, it's
right.
making me feel loved. Okay, so then maybe the bigger overarching thing is that you want to feel love.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Absolutely.
Then look at how limitless the availability, that limitless of choices. When we feel like, what am I going to do with my life? And I have a lot of kids that come to me and say that. And I had a niece that went through all of that, crying and this and that. I know how that feels, because mm-hmm. in between music and yoga, I was there. So all I'm saying, all I'm trying to propose here, and I know we're just doing a teaser, because this is sort of what it's going to be like with us, with Zooming in the Lens podcast, of us just bringing up topics. And, you know, Sass and I don't know shit. I mean,
nope.
Of course we don't. We don't know anything. All I know is what I'm doing and the things that don't work and the things that do work. And that's just for me, and that's just for Sass. But I think, like, open the mind, make a list, right, Sass? Make
mm-hmm.
a list of what you really
Absolutely.
Love to do.
That is the key. How do you want to feel in the world? How do you want to feel in the world? That, you know, that would be the advice when somebody says that to me. I completely hear everything you just said. I couldn't agree more. And I have to say that my journey is very similar in a lot of ways. I'm at a point in my life where what I did, how I started out, was as a singer. And intriguingly enough, that has led me down many other pathways, including television and film and speaking in front of people and sharing. And I discovered that the original thing that I really wanted to do was to share with others. That makes me feel good, no matter what it is. If I'm making a meal and I'm sharing that with other people, that's a big deal to me. Singing and sharing my emotional state or an emotional state with other people, that's a big deal to me. Speaking about things that mean something to me and that trigger a response in others is a big deal to me. Like that,
yeah.
What I really want to do is share and uplift. That's what I want to do. So all these things are options and paths to feeling good about myself, which is by sharing, inspiring, and uplifting others. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do. So singing, it's a great tool. I really enjoyed it. But the idea of being stuck in this box of if you want to be a successful singer, you have to, it was devastating to me, especially when I became a goddamn rock star. And it was like,
exactly,
what the fuck? This isn't what I wanted. What was I thinking? And by that point, it was too late because the snowball had already turned into a massive mistake. That's a joke. Nah. It wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, because there really are no mistakes. Look at where you are now. No look at what you've accomplished. My God, it's,
I know we wouldn't be here today talking the way we are if we hadn't been through that. So, yeah, this topic could go on because Katrina and I can go on for hours on end. But I think maybe we should wrap it up here for the time being. We can continue this again on another podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we should leave it with saying, you know, there's lots of great recommendations that we have and, you know, that you might find useful. And I know that asking ourselves the question of, like, what personally makes you feel proud of yourself? That helps me sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
What is something about you that comes really with ease? That and think outside the box, like try to watch the judgments that we have on ourselves because, you know, I have asked recently
Brutal.
Somebody that, and I'm just asking, you know, myself right now to try to not think of the end goal, you know, just start slow of like, if there was no place to get, where would you want to be? Because what it also can do is call you on your own shit. And that's what it did for me. Walking around with this story that you have to be this or you have to do this. And then you look around and you're like, yeah, but I had that opportunity and that opportunity, but I'm actually not taking them because I keep telling myself it's not the right one. It's not the right one. It's not the right one. And when I finally called myself on the shit, I realized that I didn't really want to do it. And I was devastated that I had to go inside because I wasn't okay with not wanting to do it anymore. So I was really spinning around in my own vicious circle, as Alan Watts says, the mind is a vicious circle. So unfortunately, God. It does strip away where you're going to have to call yourself on your own shit. You don't have to tell anybody, keep a diary, whatever. But really think about if there's no results and nobody would ever know that you've ever had this career and you're not going to, you know, reach millions of people and nobody's going to know your name, do you still want to do it? And that really is just the recipe of don't take action for a result. Don't love something because of the fruit of the labor.
Yes.
Love the labor. And when you love the labor, it's not work. And I'm not saying this like, oh, okay, great, now that I know the recipe. No, join the fucking club. This is what spiritual practice is about. It's about being vulnerable and admitting to yourself. And it matters what conversations go on inside of you. I don't care what bullshit I spew to Sass or Sass spews to me. I got to sleep with myself at night. I'm the one running this vicious circle. And I find it easier not to talk out loud to more than one teacher. If you have a guru, if you have a priest or a rabbi, picking one person, because you dig yourself in a hole with, guess what, tomorrow my, you know, I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to get a gym membership. And we make all these contracts that our mind can't keep. And when we figure out the internal work inside is that you didn't really want to do that, but what you wanted to do was be happy with yourself. And that might not mean just losing 50 pounds. You might lose 50 pounds and still not be happy with yourself. You know how many skinny people I know not happy with themselves? It's not that easy. So that, I know I'm going crazy here, but this is such a great topic.
Fabulous.
Thank you for bringing it up, Sess. It's a great topic.
My goodness.
Do Anytime. What you love. What the fuck does that mean? Yeah. And it'll be an ongoing conversation because I really think that it's many layers of this.
Just like everything else, absolutely. And that's what we're doing here is we're exploring the layers, as many as we can get to, you know, between the pair of us. But I just want to say one thing, Kat, after that, which is amen, because what you just said was so absolutely 1,000% how I feel. And I could not agree with you more. It really, you summed it up beautifully there. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Sex. And, you know, I think we just need to be kinder to ourselves, as you so beautifully pointed out before we actually started the podcast. Like, be kinder to ourselves. And you're not alone. If you think the whole world is sitting there and they all know what they're going to do, you think I know what I'm doing? You think Sass knows what she's doing?
Nope.
You think somebody that has had all their dreams come true knows what they're doing? No, because when they have that dream come true, the human mind is going to tell
next?
You there's another one.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, you're not alone. We're all there. And it's just learning how to find compassion
navigate.
For ourselves and for others. Yeah, navigate. Beautiful word. So thank you guys for listening to us. We hope we've reached people that this is resonating with, and we're going to be doing a lot more of these. And any questions that you have, you could go to Functional Yoga on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/functionalyoga. And for now, we're going to be launching a website that's going to be for Zooming in the Lens, as well as a course. So we've got a lot coming up, and we'd love to hear your questions and topics that you want to talk about. If you want any suggestions of what to read or podcasts to listen to, just shoot us an email, and we'll do the best that we can to answer everybody. And so until next time, Sess, I'm really
we'll
hoping that
bye.
We can all just try to tread a little more lightly on each other.
Blessings.
Is what do you desire? What makes you itch? What sort of a situation would you like? Let's suppose, I do this often in vocational guidance of students. They come to me and say, we're getting out of college and we haven't the faintest idea what we want to do. So I always ask the question, what would you like to do if money were no object? How would you really enjoy spending your life? Well, it's so amazing. As a result of our kind of educational system, crowds of students say, we'd like to be painters, we'd like to be poets, we'd like to be writers, but as everybody knows, you can't earn any money that way. Or another person says, I'd like to live an out-of-doors life and ride horses. I say, do you want to teach in a riding school? Let's go through with it. What do you want to do? When we finally got down to something which the individual says he really wants to do, I will say to him, you do that. And forget the money. Because if you say that getting the money is the most important thing, you will spend your life completely wasting your time. You'll be doing things you don't like doing in order to go on living, that is to go on doing things you don't like doing, which is stupid. Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way. And after all, if you do really like what you're doing, it doesn't matter what it is, you can eventually turn it, you could eventually become a master of it. The only way to become a master of something, to be really with it. And then you'll be able to get a good fee for whatever it is. So don't worry too much. Somebody's interested in everything. And anything you can be interested in, you'll find others who are. But it's absolutely stupid to spend your time doing things you don't like in order to go on spending things you don't like, doing things you don't like, and to teach your children to follow in the same track. See, what we're doing is we're bringing up children and educating them to live the same sort of lives we're living, in order that they may justify themselves and find satisfaction in life by bringing up their children, to bring up their children to do the same thing, so it's all wretch and no vomit. It never gets there. And so, therefore, it's so important to consider this question. What do I desire?
Music and editing, special thank you to Ian Hatton. If you'd like more information on Ian, go to mixforpix.com.